This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we're diving deep into Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, Episode 14, titled Fluctuations. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm Jordo, and here with me as always are my co-hosts and kin, the baby brother Brennan and the oldest brother Colton. Back for another week, our 208th episode ever for the podcast, which just seems like a freaking ton, but
it's a lot for sure.
It's definitely a lot. We've surpassed, I would say, the novice area of podcasting. 208 episodes is like, you tell people that, they're like, damn, that's a lot of hours on the mic. I mean, that's like as much as like, not like singers and stuff, but it's got to be close to some SoundCloud artists and stuff.
No, the SoundCloud artists are grinding.
208, that means we've got at least 208 hours. On the mic.
Well, I got more.
Some of our
that.
Episodes are like an hour 15.
Yeah.
But what's going on with you today, Colton? So Colton's actually recording remote today. Me and Brennan are together, and we're not recording Sunday night like we usually do. It's early in the morning, so you're welcome to everybody that likes deeper voices. Mine's a couple octaves deeper than normal because it's so early. But what's going on, Colton?
Oh, nothing. Just had my cup of coffee. Doing this early because my girls have games they got to be at later today, so getting it done.
Getting it in, and you can't record tomorrow, and we wanted you on this episode because it was freaking insane.
Yeah, I got to work tomorrow, so.
Nice. Well, Brennan, what's going on with you?
Nothing. I ain't even had coffee or nothing. I'm just
the hell, kid?
Up at 6:45 dry. Not even had a sip of this water yet.
Yeah, I haven't had a sip of my coffee yet either. I'm afraid I'm going to dump. To take another dump.
Thank God Dad's up at 6, already has coffee ready, so I just go downstairs and get some.
Nice. Perks of living with Mom and Dad right there.
Well, he's got to get up at 6, otherwise Yogi will be yelling at 6:05. It's fucking annoying. Uh-huh.
Shut up!
He'll whine at the gate until Dad comes downstairs.
At 6, he starts?
Oh, yeah. If Dad's not down there by 6:30, he'll start whining because he knows it's feeding time. And if we forget to bring Simba down there, Simba will start barking with him. I was like, gosh, damn it.
That's freaking awesome. Well, if this is your first time ever tuning in, welcome to That Anime Podcast. Basically, every week, we're doing coverage on Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. We believe this to be a 24-episode season. Can't confirm, never looked into it, but that's what Colton says, and he's usually up to date on the news. Be sure to tell everyone you know that watches this show, that wants to hear more about it. We do these deep dives, and we think that they're pretty good, so tell them about it. And if they love it, if you love it, give us a 5-star review, please, on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen. This helps us reach more casual anime fanatics just like yourself. Colton. Let's go ahead and get into the anime news and skip the what we've been watching because we just did the Shield Hero episode and talked about all that.
All right. So, reminder, Attack on Titan. And this was 3 days ago, so it's a week. Week from today, Attack on Titan's back. The final episode. This is the actual final episode.
It's on Crunchyroll or is it going to be a movie?
It's going to be Crunchyroll, but it's going to be a movie. It's confirmed to be an hour and 26 minutes long. So...
Oh,
it is finally the final episode, hour and a half long, so it'll be like a movie. So we'll finally get to see if the end of Attack on Titan. That's November 4th, so next week. I'm sure we're going to do a
plan on coverage.
Yeah, full breakdown of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to be like rid of dodging spoilers on this and get to finally formulate an opinion on the conclusion of this amazing anime.
Yeah.
That's freaking great news. 1 week.
What is it called? Shoot. Classroom of the Elite confirmed season 3. It'll be here in, I think, next month, January.
Nice. I love that show, too.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's kind of a spoiler. I guess it might be for Brennan, because he actually watches it.
What show is it?
One Piece. You know who the new four emperors are?
I don't. So don't spoil say it for me.
Oh, shit.
Don't say it. I know, like, they say that
I was gonna give their
Luffy's
bounties.
Like an honorary one, but
yeah,
might as well leave that news out.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not surprised by the other, well, the three, I
we
guess.
Got a lot of One Piece people watching this shit.
I know, but I was just saying, I'm surprised, I knew three of them would be in it, but I'm surprised by the fourth one. And it's somebody even Jordan knows, but I won't even say who it is then. So, but all right, that's all the news I got.
Nice, short and sweet. Usually got like at least 5 minutes of good anime news, but shoot, I'm pumped about Attack on Titan being 1 week away, because I kind of don't keep up with when stuff's coming out, so that's a nice little surprise for me today.
Yeah, that's because we did the Shield Hero so recent, so most of my news went that.
Yeah, true. All right, let's go ahead and get into this episode then. So this is episode 14 of season 2, titled Fluctuations. It's a, you know, we learned it's a part 1 of a part 2 or maybe part 3 episode. Brennan, what did you think overall of this episode?
It was good. I mean, it was great. I was on the verge of saying probably the best one of the season, but I still think it falls short of last week's episode. But it's still one of the good ones. At first, I was like, shit, they are gonna give an in-depth fight with this Zenin guy. I was like, damn it. But it's not.
He's
it's
freaking
like, it's
awesome,
like,
though.
It's like a group fight, and he has a pretty cool power.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you though,
they built him up pretty well.
The head Zenin guy, he's dead next episode, guaranteed it. With Toji coming back,
he only lost one measly arm.
No,
he ain't gonna die from that.
That had 71 years invested into that arm though.
I guarantee Toji sees his ass. That guy's fucking dead.
Because he probably
that's
knows
true,
him.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like seeing a ghost.
Yeah. As soon as
literally
I saw
a ghost.
I know it's a little spoiler towards the end, but as soon as we saw Toji coming out there, I was like, oh, that old man's fucking dead.
Yeah, because he wants to denounce the whole Zenin clan. That's why he took his wife's name, Fushiguro. Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of the episode overall, Colton?
It was great. You finally got to see the Octopops, whatever his name is.
Octobitch, as Monkey calls him.
Yeah, Octobitch. He's got a name, though. They call him...
Dagon. It's Dagon.
Dagon is what I was
saying. Like, it's Dragon without the R.
Yeah. I was saying Dagon, like D-A-G-O-N. Yeah, Dagon, yeah.
He looks like... His like, final form looks like the dragon, like the Shenron dragons from, like, the fake Dragon Ball Z arc.
From GT?
Yeah, from GT.
I thought he looked like Vecna.
I did kind of too. In a way, he kind of looked
just
like because
he was floating.
Yeah.
You guys didn't think like the wings on the low parts of his back didn't remind you of like Dragon Ball Z a little bit?
Omega Shenron? Not really. Yeah. He wasn't. He was kind of big.
Not Omega Shenron. Back when he was like split into seven different dragons.
Maybe one of the seven. I can't think of all seven.
Yeah.
But
there's only three powerful
like Zoidberg.
Ones. Yeah. But I thought
Zoidberg and Vecna.
Zoidberg.
I thought it was a good episode though. Yeah, like Jordan said, got to see the Zenin guy's powers. He had pretty cool power. I don't like how they made Nanami, like, you get that one episode where he's just like super powerful, and this one he's like barely keeping up. I was like, what the hell? Like, he should be raking. But I know there's a power difference in the Dagon being like a special grade. But
yeah, this guy's special grade curse womb. That dude with the sword hand is not even close to that. He was literally a peon that was responsible for stabbing people in the back that aren't Jujutsu sorcerers.
I know that, but we saw Nanami go. I mean,
Nobara.
Yeah, and then Nanami. I'm talking about Nanami going with Yuji against what's his name? Patchface. I forgot his
Mahito.
Mahito, yeah. And I know Mahito wasn't as powerful in the first season as he is now, but I feel like it just did a little underwhelming for our boy Nanami.
Well, you also got to think, keep in mind, Nanami, this fight really took place in a domain.
Yeah.
Like, outside, he probably would have figured out how to land some damage on him, but he only really tried two times. Yeah. Like, he didn't take a single hit when they were outside of the domain on this Dagon guy.
Yeah, so he was only putting 30% power into Nanami and then 70% into the Zenin clan head leader.
But that was after they went into the domain.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's go ahead and get into this. I agree, this episode is freaking awesome. I watched it twice. Once, the first time I watched without taking notes, just viewing it as one of you, and then second time taking notes, and it definitely was better the second time for me because I understand Naobito's power a little bit more. And the fight with, we just kind of completely forgot about the beginning of this episode, but let's go ahead and talk about it. So the episode synopsis for this one is Mei Mei and Wee Wee fight the special grade disease curse summoned by whatever is pretending to be Suguru Geto. Meanwhile, Nanami joins up with Maki and Naobito, but they encounter a cursed spirit with unknown powers. So the episode starts with a close-up on one of the crow's eyes that Mei controls. They're in the domain. This is a domain battle, which I'm feeling like going forward, because of how strong everybody is, this is basically how fights are going to go nowadays. And it's weird, too, because when, like, season one, when Gojo's explaining domain expansion, the ultimate form of Jujutsu sorcery, one of the first rules is in a domain, all your hits land. But then, no, that's not true. There's this secret shadow art called Simple Domain that fucking nullifies all of that.
Yeah.
So it just kind of makes... It kind of makes Nanami and Maki, like, why aren't you guys deploying that? Like,
they can't.
Why is this a secret art?
There's some
they don't know how?
Nanami does not know
it's
how.
It's the Zenin clan trait.
They say even for a special grade and first grade sorcerers, not all first grade sorcerers can deploy a domain expansion.
And like Maki's not... She's disowned by the Zenin clan, so she wouldn't know the technique.
Yeah,
Mekamaru just had the scrolls that he stole.
Yeah. Mm. Nanami hasn't learned how to basically bring his out yet. Like, he can, he just doesn't know how to as of right now. Megumi,
you do like Fushiguro. Overpower it with your own domain, but yeah, he's not like, overpowering it. He's just battling with it enough to disrupt it.
Yeah, enough to disrupt it. So he can, like, yeah, Fushiguro can call his, but it's not strong enough still to like basically take over somebody else's. Like you can tell, he was barely. Like,
they definitely haven't ruined the domains, but it's just like so OP. It's hard, like. It's if you keep putting people in them, it's going to be hard for them to eventually get out.
Yeah.
And then...
like, people can... like, we've clearly seen breaking in, pretty easy. Breaking out, not impossible.
Yeah, because all it is, whenever they do the domain, it's just like a black ball, and anybody in the world can just walk into it. You just know there's a domain.
Like, somebody's in there, got a whole universe in there. Yeah, it's... the domain thing is cool, but it's like... it's also adding this element, well, it's only effective against people that don't know how to deal with it.
I mean, it's still pretty good because, like, look at the octopus, he effed people up. But that stupid curse, instead of just having, like, a domain where he could just mess people up, he had to, like, trap them, hit them with the boulder, and then wait 3 seconds before he could kill them.
Yeah.
That was his move. That was on him from picking a bad finishing move.
Yeah, the rock tomb thing. So, yeah, the episode starts with the close-up on the crow's eyes. She's got two of them in the domain with her. Mei Mei breaks out of the coffin and the rock tomb, only to find herself in yet another coffin. Every time this curse plays like rock, paper, scissors with its hands, the process repeats. And it happens instantly. Like the,
it was like a little Jajanken style thing he had going on in there.
Yeah,
like
the sound, it was like, dunk, dunk.
Just because it was rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. But like the sound when the coffin and the rock appear... like, on the first watch, it looked like it was falling, and I think even from, last episode, it looked like the rock falls on the coffin, but it's actually just appearing and crushing it. Because when we see it happen to the crow, it just appears on it. Mei Mei figures it out, though. She says, step one, restrain me in a coffin. Step two, bury me under a gravestone. Step three, start a three count. And that's as far as this domain's guaranteed hit effect applies.
It's like, what? The only thing that's dumb about that is, like, what tipped her off? Like she got put in the coffin. The rock was on her.
I think she got put in there two times.
That was the second time. How did she get out of it the first time?
Because the first time she jumped out, and the second time she jumped out again, but she noticed that he's counting because they zoom in on his teeth, and he's like, dude's got straight as hell teeth, dude. Definitely had braces, this curse.
Well, yeah, and her hand started to get hurt the longer that she stood in there. Once it got close to 3 seconds, you could see like the smallpox on her hand.
No, that wasn't smallpox. That was the Deku Tanjiro special. That was the purple finger, the purple finger jutsu. No.
She said if I would have stayed in there any longer, she said that. It said it would have
She says if she doesn't break out before the count is up, she'll contract the disease and die. So she snatches Wee Wee, hides behind a pillar with him. She says that if she takes two more hits from the gravestone, she'll no longer be able to move, and that wouldn't be good for her upcoming fight with Geto. Which, that her saying that in her head made me realize, yeah, she's going to win this fight, because she's already thinking about the next fight. Like, this lady's freaking strong as hell. And yeah, I noted her pinky is purple, but she ain't got nothing on Deku and Tanjiro. Their shit was way worse. Deku's two fingers, or Deku's whole freaking hand.
Until she's having to duct tape her hand to the axe, it ain't that bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Tanjiro's swinging a sword with no fingers, so... she figures out that the curse is reflexively targeting the person with the most cursed energy within the domain. She confirms it by sacrificing one of her crows. She, like, poured her cursed energy into it, and immediately a coffin surrounds it. Then the tomb crushes it, and then we see it dead on the ground. She says in her head, so in order to take it down, I'll have to shift its target to Wee Wee, so he can buy me time to operate freely. And then she says, but Wee Wee will die after taking one hit from that gravestone. She says,
I was ready for it. I was
100%.
I wanted it.
Thinking, she's really going to sacrifice this kid. And she says, Wee Wee, will you die for me? And he looks up and smiles the most heinous smile. And he says, are you sure that's all right? May I die for you? I was like, dang, this kid's devout.
Hopefully Geto gets him next episode.
You think you don't like Wee Wee?
I mean, I don't have anything against him, so it's like everybody's living through these mortal wounds, so we might as well get somebody off the books.
Uh-huh.
Save some money for the company.
Yeah, so they bait the curse with Mei Mei, with Wee Wee, and Mei Mei chops off his arms before he can bring down the tombstone. She says, did you think I only brought the boy to carry my things? Wee Wee's role is dealing with domains. It goes against my principles to owe anyone anything, so I leave that aspect up to him. So let me ask you guys this. In what way did Wee Wee, other than being a distraction, help with this domain? Like, we still don't know his technique, right?
I don't know. I kind of just thought it was just like, she'll just use him. Just like an extra life, basically. Meat shield. In the domain until she can figure it out.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he has a technique, obviously.
Because all he did that they showed us was he turned his cursed energy up the moment she dropped hers, and then it baited the reflex of this thing. But like, I feel like she just gave him too much credit in this. Like, really, she could have done that with anybody. It didn't have to be Wee Wee.
Yeah, but they got to be willing to give their life,
I guess, and he doesn't want anything in return.
He's willing to put his life on the line.
Yeah, he did. And then Mei Mei kills this curse. And this is a special grade, by the way. And so the fact that she annihilated this thing in a simple domain, and it's a special grade without deploying her own. Like, she killed this guy within his domain expansion. This kamikaze crow, I guess the reason why it's so powerful is because it's sacrificing itself.
It's like making a contract. It's kind of
he's going to sacrifice himself.
Make a contract with the crow against its will to end its life, giving it ultra power.
I know. And
she just send 20 of those things at Geto, and that just basically make him because the power is not coming from.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Her.
Who
it's coming from the crow giving up its life, but she's making the crow.
Yeah, she makes the crow. That's why she says, "Will you die for me?" That's her power for crows.
Yeah. So we do learn from Wee Wee, no human is able to stop this strike with the sole exception of Satoru Gojo. And then they show like a little image of Satoru. He turns around. He's like, hee! It's like, dang, this guy gets brought up several times. Like, even when they're talking about Naobito later, they're like, he's the second strongest or second fastest sorcerer to Satoru Gojo. Like, the collapse of the Gojo clan is...
it's something that Naobito will revel in.
Oh, yeah. He wanted a toast to Gojo's ass being sealed. He's like, oh, I'm the best. So, yeah, just like that, Mei Mei and Wee Wee, they escape the domain, and the face-off with Geto begins. Geto says, not bad for a modern sorcerer. And there's, like, an ore fish, it looked like to me, floating around him. But I was also thinking, maybe it's, like, the baby version of the rainbow dragon? Because we didn't really get a close enough look, but there was... it looked like a fish, and this show does fish all the time.
Yeah, it looked like, not like, boy, like an obviously fish. It's just too long, but yeah, like that kind of style.
My question for you guys is, did he just leave, because he can't pick up the prison realm because it's so heavy. Do you think he just left it back at the station and was like, I'll come back for this shit?
I mean, there's no reason not to. Nobody else can pick that shit up.
True.
And all the other ways getting in are blocked too by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no sense in watching paint dry.
Yeah. Opening song plays.
It's weird that happened all before the opening, that whole fight. It was a pretty...
it's quick.
It wasn't that quick, but it was a longer sequence before the opening, probably like seven, 8 minutes.
Yeah, 6-7 minutes. Yeah, opening song plays, and every time this opening song plays, like, I know that there's got to be at least one death coming from somebody we know, and I'm like pausing it, trying to see if there's like differences of where people stand and groupings, and I can't decipher anything. But you know that there's shit littered in there. And Colton, if you do know something, don't say it. No, don't say it, because I know you accidentally, air quotes, come across spoilers all the time.
Yeah, I do. I know some deaths.
Well, sadly. Yeah, keep that shit to yourself.
And I'll agree with Brennan from what he said last...
manga spoiler-free.
But I agree with what Brennan said at the end of last episode.
Okay. Well, yeah, don't bring it up just in case some people think that's a spoiler.
Well, anybody that listened to it don't give a shit, and then anybody that bailed probably like, damn, should have listened to that. Yeah. It's not really a spoiler. But
like, shit.
Yeah, right. Go back to last episode and give it a listen. It's really not a spoiler. It's just a theory, because we don't know if it's true. Just a guess. But anyways, we go over to Nanami, Maki, and Naobito, and they run into Zoidberg. And we learn later his name is Dagon. Right when it shows itself, it was weird the first watch because I had no idea what the hell happened. It like peeks around the pillar, and the next thing we know, we're looking at a picture of the Zoidberg on glass. And Naobito says, you guys are a bit too slow. He turned this dude into a picture frame, and then he crushes it. And, well, one, two things. One, Naobito, he loses his pupils when he fights. Which immediately is like, oh, this guy, I don't care how drunk he is, this guy's freaking, he's strong. Like, right away. And then Nanami's even like, did you see... or Maki says, did you see that? And Nanami says, no. And then he internally is like, that must be his technique. Which reminds me again, sorcerers don't just go around telling people what their techniques are. So this is the first time
they give out like a bingo book on this shit.
Well, they need, if you're going to be working together, I feel like it would help to know what your allies like.
You just have to find out, dude. Trust me, it's good.
Yeah, I'm a sorcerer grade one for a good reason. You'll
what
find
I do
out.
Is I put this beanie over my face and then these auspicious beasts.
Yeah, nobody knows like anything, but I think Maki did know. That's why she's like, did you see that? Or she has really good eyesight, who knows. Naobito, he crushes the glass thing, sends it flying, and Dagon, he's still in like his infant form, he throws up a sea of bones, like skeletons, and then it's like dying.
For a
actively.
Second, I thought they were just gonna work the squid, like it wasn't gonna be, I didn't know if it was gonna be like the fight that it ended up being. Like, I thought they were just gonna kill it.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was gonna have a transformation.
I knew immediately when I saw that octopus looking thing, I was like, there's the thing. I was like, I knew it's gonna turn into a bigger fight.
Yeah, he definitely did. I really
just
thought
like
he was
the octopus.
Die.
He just ain't said anything the whole time. Like, And he just kind
he was
of
like,
been
go,
there.
Go, Maito. And then when he said Hanami, yeah, he remembered like, oh shit, Hanami's dead. You killed Hanami. That shit pissed him off. And then he went, you know, he evolved. And Naobito says, I see. No wonder you were weak. You were still only a curse womb then. So I wonder if Chozo knows that this was a curse womb. I don't think that he's maybe he's a curse womb not related to
I feel
Chozo.
Like this, he's more of just like a curse.
Have they explained the curse wombs at all in the actual show yet, or just saying
just a little
that they
bit.
Are?
Yeah. Just that demon was like going around. Well, not going around, just the same girl.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll explain it more, but yeah. I won't get into that because it lays down a good path.
It's that king from Attack on Titan. He's like, I'll gift you my seed.
I'll give you my seed.
That's what the demon did. And
that's like Step Brothers. Yeah, I traveled 500 miles to give you my seed. Oh, Lumberjack.
Yeah. As your reward, I'll give you my seed.
Yeah. So now this thing is looking like the dragon from Dragon Ball GT. It floods the room with water. Naobito says, curse spirit. This was so funny that they're both talking and not listening to the other. Naobito says, curse spirit. Do you know how many frames there are in 1 second of animation? And Dagon says, it's not cursed spirit. I am Dagon. Naobito, there's a modern tendency to raise revolutions in frame rates. Dagon says, there's Hanami, Jogo, and Mahito too. Naobito, upscaling to 4K and 60fps frame interpolation. Dagon says, we all, and Naobito cuts him off. They don't cause anyone any trouble when done for personal use, so that's fine. However, modern TVs have their damn frame interpolation set to on by default. It's not like unwanted favor has become a dead phrase already. Nothing is more lamentable than that, creating that soap opera effect. Dagon says, we all have names. Naobito, don't you agree that's uncultured? It was just a completely unnecessary conversation. I think it was just supposed to show us that Naobito cares about frames because that's his quirk. Or not his quirk, his technique. But it was funny how he was just ignoring.
PSA, too, for all the people that get a new TV. You can change that setting.
So explain that.
It's just like whenever, I remember when people first started getting the giant ass or like really nice, expensive TVs. I'd go over there and watch TV. I'd be like, why does this fucking look weird?
It's because the frames are too much.
Our eyes are better at processing the 24 frames like he does. Like, that's how movies produce because it's a bigger screen. But whenever you're watching a show, if it's on 60, it looks like they're moving almost like choppy, I guess. It's good in a video game. You know, the more frames, the more time you see. But it's weird to the eye.
Okay.
In 24 to 30, maybe not. But if you're watching the show at 60.
Anime, there ain't no way anime is 24 frames per second. They're like probably 2 frames in a second, 3 frames. They start fighting. Thank goodness for Naobito too, because they may have not, if Naobito wasn't there, maybe they never would have even deployed the domain. I think that he had to because Naobito was just working him. But now Nanami hits him. He says, no damage, or it feels like I didn't damage him. No, it feels like he has an endless well of HP. Naobito says, I can't believe 2 grade 1s like us couldn't exercise it together. What dire straits. You have several techniques left, right? So what should I do? That's easy. I'll kill you quickly before you can use your technique. And this is whenever he just keeps the attack coming. We learn about his technique a little bit. Maki feels shame for having to have been saved by Naobito. She says she would have been killed if not for him. There's this one part where they all attack at the same time. Dagon thinks he got away, but Naobito says, of course, you can hover too, right? I'd escape upward too. Kicks him, and then he keeps attacking so he can't use his technique. And Dagon admits, this gives us an idea of how fast Jogo is. He says, Naobito's fast and probably faster than Jogo. So we've never, I guess, seen Jogo go all out because the only person we have to reference him fighting against is Gojo, which
Ichidori thought he was powerful whenever he watched that fight.
Yeah, he did.
Kind of, as little as he got to Saul, it was really just the domain lesson, but
And when he showed up, he like mentioned the spiritual pressure that Jogo was sending off. He's like, this guy's crazy strong.
That's just the little power scaling breadcrumb they put for whenever Jogo's fighting later in the season against somebody. We'll be like, oh yeah, this guy's fast. I heard this dude's second fastest man on the planet.
So the narrator gives us a little background into this technique. Projection sorcery. The curse technique of Naobito Zennin. It splits 1 second into 24 frames from his field of view and allows him to trace the actions created in those frames at the start. While the technique is active, anyone Naobito touches with his hand must also define their actions within 1/24th of a second. If they fail to do so, then their action hangs and they remain frozen for 1 second. There are risks. The actions defined cannot be edited halfway through. Creating actions that excessively ignore physics and paths of motion will result in him freezing as well. Still, with his innate sense for frame beats and time, he's managed to become the fastest sorcerer, aside from Satoru Gojo. Which, this explains it to me, but at the same time, it's like, okay, still don't really get it.
I mean,
so he has to, like, at the moment he activates it, he has to know his movements already.
Yeah, he sets them, and then he can basically do that right away. And while he's moving that, in the second the other person's frozen.
If he touches them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, pretty OP. I think it's like, yeah, Mirio's power. Not power-wise, but how it's like, it's a tough one to use.
Yeah.
You can't just be willy-nilly with, like, he can't just, like, make himself teleport 40 feet at a time, you know?
Yeah, the
or he's
going to
freeze. Yeah, it's like one of those ones.
He's supposed to operate within the laws of physics.
Yeah, so it's one of those ones that you can't just, not some random Joe can just get it and start balling out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an old man. I'm sure he wasn't balling out at first.
71 years, this guy. So they all end up getting trapped in Dagon's domain. It's the beach where they all used to hang out. If you recall from season 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this dude's been, he's been visiting this domain often with his friends. He says, domain expansion, horizon of the captivating Skanda. Basically in the domain, so that, he's got these fish Shikigami that basically attack and keep attacking. Right away, Nanami and Maki, they take hits. Naobito, on the other hand, uses a secret art, Falling Blossom Emotion, an anti-domain technique passed down among the big three clans. Like Simple Domain, the user does not activate their own domain, and instead, the moment the domain's guaranteed hit activates, it protects the user by countering with their own cursed energy. It just sounds so simple. I don't understand why everybody can't do it.
I mean, they just had to make up a technique, yeah, but the way they described it, just like he just started letting his cursed energy
flow. Here's what you do. When you get in a domain, you wrap your body in your cursed energy, and then whenever something hits you, it just bounces off. Because you've got your cursed energy wrapped around you.
Because that's why I think the head Zenin, what did they say his name? I keep saying Zenin head guy.
Naobito,
yeah. Like, I don't think he can even do a domain expansion, so that's why he does this simple domain. Otherwise, he would probably try to use his domain expansion and overwhelm.
Yeah. Dagon.
Dagon, yeah. Dabin. Dagon.
Doggon. Dagon. Yeah.
That's so, just my thing. I feel like we would have seen the head Zenin guy's domain if, even if he is the head of a clan, there's still some grade one sorcerers who can't do their domain expansion yet.
Yeah. I could do without the domains, honestly, except for Gojo's. So Dagon, he activates Death Swarm, and this is whenever he decides, the problem is Naobito. I'm sending 70% of my force toward that guy to kill him, 30% to Maki and Nanami.
Not even Maki, just Nanami.
Yeah, he tells Maki, you're first, and kicks her, thinking that'll kill her.
Yeah, but whenever he didn't even send any at her, they like go by her.
Oh, you're right.
Like, he just is like, I don't even care. Like, I'm not wasting even a percent on her.
You're right.
Garb.
So, Nanami sees all of the Death Swarm coming at him and Maki, and he says, Maki-san, the Shikigami aren't heading straight for us. They'll be gouging out our flesh in the next instant. Don't think about it. The moment you feel contact, cut them down one after another. That's the best thing you can manage with your scant cursed end. And then he gets freaking, like, bit by one, and then another, and then another, and for some reason, I knew he wasn't going to die. Like, I didn't feel like this
it
is
just
it
wasn't
for him.
No one's going to just get killed by some freaking electric fish. Eels. Yeah.
That's how I felt. Like, I knew it was, like, going to come out bad, but I was like, he doesn't die from this. Nabito also gets sent flying. Maki walks out of, like, the trees after getting hit, and she hits Dagon with sharp words. She says, if you're going to call me weak, then kill me in a single blow. Octobitch. And he says, okay, I'll show ya. And just before he's like holding out his hand, like he's gonna do something to Maki, and she's like, shit, shouldn't have talked shit. Just before she's about to get killed, Megumi freaking explodes up through the domain. I was not expecting anybody to come save them.
I wonder what he, like, you can't see into the domain, it's just like black, like
who's in there?
What if it was just like some randos that he didn't even know?
Yeah, he must have just thought.
And then he's just like, shit, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, it's just weird. Yeah, it is. When you go into a domain, you just, like, he didn't know who the hell was in there.
Yeah, all heroes have one thing in common, their bodies just moved.
Yeah.
Without them thinking about it.
Uh-huh. That's a callback to My Hero, isn't it?
Yeah.
My body moved on its own. Yeah, so he shows up, and did this surprise you guys, too? That, like, another person's joining this fight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially
yeah,
him.
It surprised me, yeah.
I guess he just got rid of the body. He's uh-huh. like, you had to chill.
I was freaking shocked that he jumped in there, because the way I was picturing it going down as soon as they got in the domain, I just thought it's going to be okay because this Nabito guy is clearly not taking hits. He's still going to win, and they're just going to have to last till this guy's energy runs out. But
it's just funny. It's just like so many people in this episode just running into a domain. They don't even know what the fuck is in there. Just like, I'm going in.
Uh-huh. I know. He's like, just the bloodlust. People are like, I'm getting in there. It's like mosh pits, man. I'm getting in there. Megumi brings with him some of those, like, those three nunchucks. I guess
triple
that's
staff.
Like, is that what's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's tight.
That shit's dumb, but if you know how to use it, I guess it's tight.
Maki freaking, she was pumped that he brought that. She says, you really are one hell of a cheeky underclassman.
He's like her well, or he was in some episode, right?
Yeah.
So he probably got a couple of those things for her.
Well, I think it was in the school, like, test, he started, like, storing weapons for her.
They need to stick those two together.
Uh-huh.
If he's got all her weapons.
Well, they're cousins, too. The guaranteed hit effect, because Megumi is there, is no longer active. Dagon says it's because their domains are playing at a tug of war. And so Megumi is getting attacked by the fish, but Nanami is still alive. His shoulders are cut up. He lost his freaking awesome glasses. Those were designer for sure. He's going to be feeling that. Yeah. He's like, I'll protect you. Keep focusing on your domain. And we also learned Nabito's alive, but he's missing his right arm. And he even says, like, all you could take is a measly right arm. But it did have 71 years invested into it. And one thing about anime that's, like, always interesting is, yeah, these guys are, they're fighters, you know? But, like, dude, you losing your arm, you're done, dude. You're going to bleed out.
That's
like, don't
like
say
most...
it's a measly arm. You're on your way to death.
I'm sure he's good enough to use, like, curse energy to at least, like, seal up the hole and the bleeding. But yeah, losing an arm in an anime is nothing. Like,
I know
losing a leg is something.
They make it seem like, oh, he's so good, he can,
as long as you can stand.
But like in real life, you know, and somebody, like if you're watching a movie and like people are fighting and somebody loses an arm, dude, you lost. You just lost. But in anime, it's like, oh yeah, this guy's back and now he's pissed. He don't need that right arm. Nanami says that they can win if they can keep this up. Megumi reveals his plan. He says, Nanami, that octopus currently thinks our domains are pushing for control. But my goal is different. I'll open a small hole in the barrier of this domain. The hole I entered through earlier is already sealed. It's harder to open one from the inside than the outside. But I can open a hole large enough for someone to pass through for a few seconds. That thing isn't Gojo-sensei. It shouldn't be able to use domain expansion multiple times in one day. Once we're all out of this domain, we can win. The edge of the domain is beneath my feet, I can tell, since I touched it when I entered. I'm ready to go at any time. If all three of you jump in at once. Nanami turns and says, none of this leaving yourself alone, all right? Megumi says, I'm risking my life, but I don't intend to throw it away. And this part was like, this is one of the best parts of the episode for me. Nanami just yells, you two, gather around! And right away, neither of them hesitate. They're just like, fuck! Like, right away.
Yeah. They just say, instantly. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's like any Jujutsu sorcerer was raised, like, gather round means literally drop everything and go. That means we're getting out. Because it was like, they really understood instantly. Even Naruto the drunk, like, you would think he'd be like, oh, I got that, you know? But even he was on the same page instantly. And so I thought that was really cool. Because only Nanami would be able to demand that kind of, like, trust from both of them. Like, him being serious. So it was freaking great that he was there. Love that part. Dagon's like, oh, they're going to protect Megumi while he tries to take over the domain. And then he realizes, like, oh, no, they're trying to get out. So he goes over there. And then we have the four panels. It's like, ding, 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 ding. And they all, like, are frozen and they look. And it's the happiest version of Toji Fushiguro jumping into the domain.
Who the hell was telling me this guy was just walking around, saw a black ball, and was like, I'm going into.
I'm taking that shit. He's like, ah. Oh.
He probably walked up and was looking up at it and like, I wonder who's in there. And then it opened up and he was like, heaven's inviting me. And he jumped
in. I'm like, is he still 100% in control? Or like, because no, remember,
his whole thing
was like, it said mind, kill curse users.
Yeah, I think
the overall arc of why he was summoned, because he was like, you said kill curse users and he killed the old lady.
Yeah.
Now is it he like just hunting curse users for the heck of it? I know that was his job in a past life. But
it is Togi, but I think you're right, Brennan. He is still having to kill any curse user that he sees.
Not that he's pissed about that, but no. Yeah, he might be like,
yeah,
he's like, somebody's in here using some cursed energy.
Yeah, his mind's in control, but he's still, yeah, like if he sees a curse user, he's gonna kill it or try to kill it.
Damn. But it's Toji, so all bets are off. We don't know what this
guy's wondering, like, when him and the worm are gonna reunite.
Because
he didn't have any weapons right now. He's just gonna have to go straight hands.
I'm guaranteeing
he would be hugely disadvantaged against an actual curse user, since he doesn't have any.
I guarantee the first person he's killing is a Zenin clan head leader. He's taking his head.
He's taking that left arm first.
Yeah.
It was just, then I saw the manga panel of this part, and they matched it perfectly.
Yeah, and there's a line, I've seen it too, there's a line that comes with it, and people are pissed that they didn't give the line for it, but we're going to get it next
time. I'm sure they will next episode.
Yeah. They always do that.
Yeah.
The way that they ended this episode was one of, like, this will go down in history.
Yeah, I was pissed.
At least in Jujutsu Kaisen. No, is like one of the iconic ways to end an episode. Like, it was so unexpected that Megumi showed up. And then you think that they're getting out. And then literally the worst possible person comes into this. Like, this guy's an enemy. He's an enemy to everyone. He's not, like, going to help. Like, you don't know if he's going to help. Is he going to fuck things up? Well, yeah, he's just coming in.
He floated in like Gojo did. I was like, what the hell? He's just floating in there.
Oh. And yeah, the way that they showed it upside down was cool. Like, everything about this entrance, I'm like really, 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 really excited to watch next week's episode.
Yeah,
like this, the way that they ended this one, I was like, damn, that's freaking good storytelling right there. But, Colton, I can't ask you because you probably know what happens. But, Brennan, what do you think? What do you think becomes of this domain now that it's looking like it's going to continue to take place within Dagon's domain, but Toji is now inside?
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm curious if they're also going to go ahead and get out, or who's going to get out. It kind of depends on that. Like, if those curse users jump out, the three, and then it's just like, the Fushiguros and the crab. That could be different, but...
I don't think that anybody's getting out, because he can only hold it open for a second, he said.
Is that where he came in through? Did he come in through the hole
he was opening? He came in through the hole that Megumi opened for them to jump out of.
He came in from a different way.
Oh, no.
So probably, yeah, I think he'll definitely... He's going to firstly recognize, like Colton said, the Naobito, probably kill him. And then I think at some point he's going to find out that Maki is his name. And then that she's going to say they disowned him, but I feel like he's going to maybe go for her, and that's when Fushiguro will kind of step in.
I bet, guarantee you, he already knows Maki.
How would he?
Because his son was already born.
I know, but he ain't even going to recognize
Maki is Fushiguro 1 year right older. Away. 1 year older than.
Yeah.
So whenever he was born.
He definitely ain't remembering her, though. He may remember the name, but he's not going to see her and be like, Maki.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right.
He left Fushiguro when he was a child. Like, Fushiguro didn't even know who his dad is. Like, he said he left when I was young. So I doubt Maki knows. She probably knows the name, Toji Fushiguro, but she's never seen him.
Naobito's for sure giving exposition to everybody there.
Dagon's
just going to sit there and listen instead of attacking. He's going to be like, yeah, I got to hear what this guy's deal is.
Nanami and Naobito are going to be the ones that immediately know how serious this is, because they know who Toji is. And they're going to wonder, one, how is he here? Because he's dead. But, man, this show's getting good. And the only two people that I'm still waiting to show up this season... Well, I guess three. Yuta, he's strong. He's got to get in the mix somewhere. Owie, we know he's going to be in the season because he's clapping in the opening. And
I just don't feel like Sukuna. We're going to get Yuta because he's not in the opening. Well, yeah, we got the,
yeah, but neither.
The one picture,
you know who also wasn't in the opening?
You can also deter people with the opening.
Toji wasn't in the opening either, Colton.
But he was in the original opening.
Yeah, but
he was in that. He was in the hidden inventory arc. He's a big player in that.
Yeah. So I don't know. We may get Yuta, but I just feel like I don't know.
We'll see. I guess one of the best episodes I've seen in a long time. I loved this episode. I don't love this villain. I'm kind of wishing that they would just kill him and move on to somebody I actually care about. But I'm liking seeing Naobito and.
Yeah, he's making everybody work together, so it makes him all right. If it was just him versus one other, like him versus Naobito would have sucked, just like 1v1, those two. That says there's other people in the mix.
Two people we don't care about. Cool.
They missed a good chance in this domain to send someone skipping across the water. getting interesting.
That's basically what Naobito said when he came out of the woodwork missing an arm. He said, this shit's getting interesting. All you could do is take one measly arm. Now, and his pupils were back when he said that, but his eyes were bloodshot. So he was like really, I think, fired up at that point, which is why, again, I was shocked whenever Nanami yelled, gather round, that he was like, yeah, I'll listen. But overall, incredible episode. Do you guys have any other closing thoughts?
No really predictions this week, because it didn't really end on a predictive, like last week. Ended on like, oh shit, what's going to happen to him? This episode just kind of ended like, oh shit, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, prediction, Toji's killing somebody. Somebody's dying next episode. And I'm saying head's ending guy, he's dead. At least him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be cool with that. The only characters where I feel like it would hurt for a death is the main three, Megumi, Nobara, Yuji, and then Nanami also. Like, if Nanami gets killed, it'll hurt, because he's been with us since season one. We'll see.
He's probably the candidate, though.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know, just from the main cast.
I think,
because it's like his pupil ain't good enough. Like, he ain't going to get us good enough. I mean, I think he should still die, but...
All about those deaths.
Yeah. I feel like, I won't say much more about who's dying, but... I don't know who everybody who's going to die in this arc, but I do feel like the head zending guy is one of the deaths that is coming. I know there will be some main deaths, but... I don't know if the Zenin guy is going to die or not, but I'm predicting that he is.
Well, we've got nothing else. Thank you all for listening. I'm Jordo.
Brennan.
Holton.
We are the Evans Bros, also known as the Casual Anime Fanatics. Everybody have a great week. And as always, peace out.